Good afternoon. You're listening to KMHM 104.1 FM. It's time for a message from God's Word titled The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle. Get your Bibles and be ready to dig into the Word of God this afternoon on The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. God says we reap what we sow and that our own way comes back upon our own head. This is a law that God has set in motion, and this law is no respecter of persons. No one is excluded from this law. There is always a payday, and we will be paid or rewarded according to our works. Now, there is one debt that we don't have to pay. I want to make that clear, and that is the death penalty for sin, which is eternal death, the second death, because Christ paid that debt in our stead. That is, if we repent and accept Christ as our personal Savior and walk in His steps of obedience to God's law. But it is appointed to all men to die the first death. No one escapes that. But from the time that you are born until the time that you die the first death, you will be reaping what you sow. It's according to how you live your life that determines what you will reap in this first life. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death, meaning the second death or eternal death by fire, from which there will be no resurrection. In a couple of our previous programs, we have been speaking about the pre-flood world and Sodom and Gomorrah turning their back on God, deliberately rejecting God's law, His way, and the warning message God was giving them by His true servants and prophets. And they paid a heavy price for doing so. The first death, which was a very early death for most of them, plus the miserable condition they had brought on themselves during that life. Now, I'm sure there were many well advanced in age, but still the kind of death they had wasn't a pleasant one, all because they wanted to live their life as they pleased. Yes, they did what was right in their own eyes. Now, had they obeyed God, they would have lived a pleasant, happy, abundant, long, satisfying life and would have died a pleasant death in a ripe old age. And they would not have had the miserable life filled with all the problems along the way. And it would be the same today if we would obey God. They would have been reaping good, not evil, from birth to death. God recorded many things in His words and probably inspired much history to be written for our learning so we could avoid the same mistakes. But we don't listen and learn from history. I want to quote what Winston Churchill said 55, 60, 65 years ago. He said, and I quote, "Mankind is unteachable. They refuse to learn. History keeps repeating itself in endless catastrophes." Now, I wish that I could disagree with that statement, but I can't, because it is so true. We could wake up and learn from the Bible history and secular history and change our way. And if we would, it would save a lot of trouble for the world and every nation and every individual. But will we wake up? Will we change our ways as a nation or as an individual and avoid the many problems that lie ahead for our nation and the world? Notice what Christ said in Matthew 24, verses 21 through 22. He said, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of this world until this time, no, nor ever shall be." Christ is talking about a time that's coming that has never been before. A worse time than this world has ever seen is still coming, and it's just around the corner, my friend. We are in the last days. He goes on here in verse 22, he says, "And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." Now, the time Christ is speaking of may not sound too real or bad right now, because things are still pretty well with you and me, even though we all have our problems, but we still have a pretty good life in this nation that God has blessed abundantly because of the obedience and the faith of our ancestor Abraham. Now, God has said He will strip us of these blessings and send us into captivity because of all of our many sins, unless we repent and turn to God. Now, there is a way that you can escape this terrible time ahead. That is, if you will repent as an individual and turn to God. Yes, unless we repent and turn to God, and it is very unlikely that we will. But you, as an individual, you can, even though our nation probably won't. God destroyed the pre-flood world Sodom and Gomorrah, and others because of their sins, and God would have destroyed Nineveh if they hadn't repented at the preaching of Jonah. God is still the same today. He will spare any nation or any individual that will turn to Him and repent, change their ways, that is. Daniel spoke of this same end-time event that Christ was speaking of here, that great tribulation that is brought out by Jeremiah and others, as well as many other of the prophets. Daniel 12 and verse 1 says this, "At that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation." Same time that Christ was speaking of in Matthew 24 there. "And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time, and at that time your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book." Yes, God promises protection to those that serve Him. Serve Him wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly, my friend. You can't fool God. But if you repent and begin to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, God promises you protection through this great tribulation that's just around the corner. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, it speaks of the fact that our sins are bringing these things on us, as well as many other places in the Bible tells us this. But in the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, it's speaking of the nations of Israel, mainly to the United States and the British peoples. And it is an end-time message that you need to hear. Yes, God says this world, and that means every individual that has or that will be rebelling against God's word, His law, His way of life, will pay a heavy price. The pre-flood world, Sodom and Gomorrah, did. They paid with their life because they rebelled. Now, we may wonder why we have all of these problems. Notice what it says here in Isaiah 59, beginning in verse 14. "Justice is turned back," and it means divine law. It means God's law is turned back. "And righteousness stands afar off. For truth has fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter." And that's the only way it can be when you don't have divine law to guide you. And we have rejected God's law as a world and as a nation. Verse 15, "So truth fails." Yes, of course truth failed. If you don't have a divine law to follow, you're going to do what you want to do, say what you want to say. "So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey." I wonder if the pre-flood world thought, well, if we depart from the popular road, the way that everyone else is traveling, and if Sodom and Gomorrah would have thought along the same line, I wonder if they would have said, well, we're going to be persecuted. People are going to talk about us. People are going to shun us if we leave the crowd and turn and go and do the right thing. Do you think that way today, my friends? If you do, you need to change your thinking, because if you don't, you're going to wish that you had. "So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice," yes, no divine law that we were living by. "He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head." And notice this in verse 17. "He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak." Yes, there's coming a time that God is going to take vengeance on our nation and on the other Israelitish nations as well as this world, just as he did on Sodom and Gomorrah and the pre-flood world. It says, "He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak." Now notice verse 18. "According to their deeds, accordingly, he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands he will fully repay." Yes, God says this world, and that means every individual that has or does stubbornly rebel against God's word, his law, his way of life, will pay a heavy price. The pre-flood world did. Sodom and Gomorrah did. They paid with their life because they rebelled against the light of God's way, because they, just like this world and our nation, loved darkness. And God says we will pay a great price for our sins as well. And we already are. Just look at our problem. Look at your own personal problem. Look at the problems of this nation. Look at the problems of the world. There is cause and effect, my friends. But there is still a much higher price to be paid just around the corner. Notice in Jeremiah 30, verses 1 through 3. Jeremiah 30, verses 1 through 3. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Eternal, saying, Thus speaks the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write in a book for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you. For behold, the days are coming, speaking about an end time prophecy here, and speaking to Israel, the nations of Israel. Behold, the days are coming, says the Eternal, that I will bring back from captivity my people Israel. Yes, he's speaking about the United States and the British people and Judah. Yes, the little nation that we call Israel today, the nation of Judah. It says, For behold, the days are coming, says the Eternal, that I will bring back from captivity my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Jeremiah wrote this 130 years or so after Israel had already gone into captivity in 732 to 721 B.C., and Judah, which we call the little nation of Israel today, were in the process of being taken captivity at that time that Jeremiah was writing. Jeremiah was prophesying in the late 600s to 585 B.C. This is an end-time prophecy that God is speaking of, that Israel, the United States and the British people, and Judah will be in captivity when Christ returns, and many other scriptures back up this statement. Let's go on here in Jeremiah 30, beginning in verse 4 here. Now these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah, for thus says the Eternal. Now notice, he's speaking to Israel and Judah, and this was 130 years after Israel had already gone into captivity. It says, We have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Does that sound like the nation that you live in today, my friends? Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. Things are going to get that bad. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor, and all faces turn pale? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it, and it is the time of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. Yes, indeed. Jeremiah is speaking of the same time Christ spoke of in Matthew 24 and the same time that Daniel spoke of in Daniel 12. But they are telling us that things will get a lot worse for Israel and other nations as well. But God says the United States and the British people will take the brunt of this great tribulation because of our many sins which have increased. But there is a way of escape for our nation or for you individually, and that is by repenting and turning to God wholeheartedly. We will continue this theme in future programs. Keep listening, for God says, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the pre-flood world reap what they sow, so will we, unless we change our ways. But it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be a bad harvest. If we will repent and change our ways, we can reap a good harvest. But if we don't, as a nation, we will find ourselves in much deeper troubles and in captivity in the very near future. Keep listening and requesting our free literature, and today we're offering, free of charge, What Must America Do Now to Regain God's Protection and Blessing, and the Key to the Book of Revelation. And all you need to do is just call us toll-free at 1-800-611-8080 and request your free booklet, What Must America Do Now to Regain God's Protection and Blessings, and the Key to the Book of Revelation. Call us 1-800-611-8080. You may also hear the Way It Ought to Be program on WXAN in Ava, Illinois at 4 p.m. 5 days a week. This is Pete Hornbuckle, and I'll see you on my next program. Thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed today's program, The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry. Tune in every Monday through Friday at 3:30 for another program of The Way It Ought to Be. You're welcome to meet with the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. They're located on County Road 300, just one block from the Cat Ranch. That's the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship, located on County Road 300, meeting every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And tune in again Monday through Friday at 3:30 for The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry.